Mr. Speaker, I came to this well this morning. I want to make a couple things clear. My whole life, I've grown up a Georgia Baptist. I went to a Georgia Baptist college. I go to a Georgia Baptist church now. Me and my wife got married in a Georgia Baptist church. My dad's a pastor at a Georgia Baptist church. My brother is a youth pastor at a Georgia Baptist church. I'm proud to be a Georgia Baptist. But today I'm in this well because I'm absolutely ashamed of the actions taken by someone out there in that hall who wears a badge and claims to represent Christian values and us Georgia Baptists. Last night an email was sent out with an article in it, written by Mike Griffin. In that article, he's referencing the debate we're having over an issue that I consider extremely important, protecting our religious liberties. But in that article, he referenced our state government in this house, compared us with the most despicable person I think ever walked this earth, Adolf Hitler. I'm ashamed that this man is walking around this Capitol with a badge claiming he represents me and my faith. We need to have a productive conversation about what we can do to protect the religious liberties of us Georgians. We're having that debate right now. There's room for a lot of people to be involved in that debate. But it's one that needs to be had in an adult manner and one that I consider needs to be had in a Christian manner. There's no place for individuals who are going to resort to name-calling like this. It's certainly not good taste as a professional or as a Christian. My God, through his son Jesus in the 22nd book of Matthew, when asked about what's the greatest commandment, he said, first, love your God with all your heart, soul, and understanding. But then he said, love your neighbor as yourself, that all laws come from these two commandments. I certainly can't believe that our God approves of name-calling like this that's taking place from someone who claims to represent his faith. I'm going to ask him to personally apologize to every one of us in this room, to our speaker, who starts us off every day with a pastor of the day. The fact that we are now being referred to as Hitler in our state government is despicable. And I ask him to apologize to each and every one of us in this room. Mr. Speaker, I yield the well.
Chair recognizes Chairman Randy Nix for a morning order.
I too am appalled that one who walks these halls, supposedly representing God-fearing, Bible-believing people who seek to lead Christ-like lives, would invoke the name of one of the most infamous evil characters that history has ever known, for no other reason than to inflame the passions of good people. People, you and I, who are here working to create a better Georgia. As I thought about this, the thing that came to my mind, the biblical example, Jesus was going down the street, there was a commotion. He goes over and the people, a group of men are gathered around this woman. And they said, Lord, this woman has done something bad. We don't like what she's done. She's sinned. And they're all inflamed in passion. And they look at him and said, what do we do? And the scripture says that he stooped down. He wrote in the sand with his finger. And he simply said this. Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. Mr. Speaker, I just asked today, who has the stones in their hands and has a pocket full of them that they want to throw. I yield the will.
Chair recognizes Representative Larickia for a morning order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to share with you this morning the greatest challenge for me coming up here to do this job. And that's being 4 hours away from my family. My beautiful wife and I had an anniversary on Tuesday. I was sitting right there. My 10-year-old 2 weeks ago broke his foot. I was sitting right there. One of my favorite things to do early in the morning is back up to my daughter's bed and let her crawl on my back, and old daddy will walk her through the house to our bed and let her get dressed and ready for school. And as odd as it may seem, I like to smell that morning breath when she crawls on my back. But there's 179 others that do that same thing every week in this house, or much like that. And when we do get an opportunity to go home, it's to get your laundry done, do a little catching up on work. In my life, that's just killing bugs. We're in the pest control business. But it takes me away from my family. It takes me away from my constituents. It takes me away from this body. And on Saturday, we have a little bit of time to spend together as a family. But on Sunday morning at my house, you get dressed and go to Sunday school and church. And let me tell you what we've got figured out in the church. We've got doing church figured out. I go back on Sunday night before I come to Atlanta. And many afternoons or many nights when I'm driving back up here, I don't even turn the radio on. Me and God just spend a little bit of time talking, and I'll meditate on why I'm coming to Atlanta. And so you can imagine the frustration and pain that I feel when last night I am literally on the phone with my daughter telling her goodnight at 9 o'clock like we do every night, and a text message interrupts the phone conversation that says, "Have you seen what Mike Griffin has written in the Christian Index?" And that's when the devil got into the vehicle with me. People, the author of confusion comes in all different shapes and sizes. And if you think he don't live in the church, you hadn't been in the church. I have grown to love and respect this body because whether or not I like it, you are my family from January to April. I am going to just offer a challenge. First, that this is not about a denomination. This is not about a publication. This is not about a political party. I'm not even going to mention the name of the person from this well that he compared us to, but I'm going to mention Mike Griffin's name. I hope that my life says a lot more about who Jesus is to me than any words that I can publish or any words that come out of my mouth. Mr. Speaker, I yield the will.
Chair recognizes Representative Ballinger for a morning order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Like a lot of people that have took the well, I was raised Baptist, but I'm Catholic, so I guess I offer something of a different perspective. I was sworn to this house in 2013. And as I worked my first bill through the House and through the legislative process, I became appreciative of the collaborative process, the interplay and the exchange of ideas and different perspectives that each of us represent. We all represent the state of Georgia. Each of us sit in this seat, and we sit on behalf of approximately 55,000 people back home. And that's the perspective. And that's the vision that we have to bring to this house. We may disagree. We may not always be on the same page. We may not always vote the same way. But at the heart, this house is founded on mutual respect, on what each of us represent. We're representatives. Each of us sit in these seats in place of each of our constituents. And we find And we have to be able to be collaborative. We have to be open, and we have to be able to listen. And someone has challenged the integrity of this house. They have shunned our discourse and our collaborative process. They have belittled our spirit of cooperation, and they have maligned each and every member of this house. This is not an attack on an issue. That email was not for an issue. That email was an attack on us. That was an attack on our house. This is an attack on our approach and each and every one of us, because to compare our house to the most reprehensible human being in our modern history is just awful. This is a conversation that has devolved and has now become out of hand. Our thoughtful deliberation and our considered approach to do what is right for Georgia has been challenged. We're being compared to the most reprehensible human being known in our modern history. This is a conversation that has devolved, and it is now out of control. So what do we do now? We stand, we represent, and we fight, and we have to continue to do what is right for Georgia. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chair recognizes Representative Al Williams for a morning order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Allow me first to expand upon protocol and also address the remaining leadership of this House, both in the majority and the minority, all chairmen and all of those that function here to make this a workable body. I'm often asked by people, and they can't understand why I say it, why do I always say it's the best day of my life? The primary reason is it keeps me grounded and reminds me to not let my head take over from my heart. There are many people in here who I've never had the opportunity to vote with because we're usually on opposite sides of the political spectrum. But there's one thing for sure. I respect them. We have fun together. My fear about what happened with that article yesterday is that Georgia will fall into what has become a national pastime, and that's to relieve oneself of civility and just being commonly decent. But you know, there's one thing about a Christian. They don't have to advertise who they are because you should see it in them daily. Now, I must say this. I have no qualms with Mr. Griffin because I wasn't surprised, because in 14 years, as many years as he's been here, he's never spoken to Al Williams, and we pass every day. That ain't Christian-like. I'm sorry. I'd appreciate a good morning, a good evening, a get lost Al or something every once in a while. But when you take off your Sunday morning mask and the real you is revealed, sometimes you write it down and it's there forever. It's one thing, and I'm embarrassed. I'm not a member of the Georgia Baptist Convention. I'm a member of the Georgia Missionary Baptist Convention, but we're all Baptists. It is embarrassing to hear someone representing a Christian organization. Why am I standing here? Because the statement was made about the legislature. That means all of us were indicted. When I came here because the people of then, the 128th, elected me. But I learned soon that this was greater than just another office. I've formed relationships here like none I've formed since leaving Vietnam. And I take personal affront to anyone who questions the dignity of this body. It's like I was when I was a little boy growing up. Now, I can fight my brother. I can hit him in the nose, but you can't touch him because I'm ready to fight you. That's called home, family. I'm disappointed. But from a bigger standpoint, be careful. Let's don't fall in the abyss of what we're seeing in this country. You can't say anything to anybody anytime you get ready to say it. Common decency must become the rule of the day again. We must be decent. We must say decent things. We must respect institutions. I can't say a disparaging word about this House of Representatives because I love Georgia too much. I love this House too much. I disagree with that little thing called the vote, and I'll go to this well, but I'm going to be respectful when I do it. And some of you, I will flat love the hell out of you. Stay in prayer for this state, but most of all, pray for those who would despitefully use you. Pray for them. I certainly hope that this is not an indicator of things to come. With that, Mr. Speaker, I yield the well.
Chair recognizes Chairman Terry England for a morning order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I come before you this morning with a heavy heart. And a head hung somewhat in shame. That a person that's a spokesperson for the denomination that I was born and raised into the church represents would say what was said yesterday, last evening, about this body, about our state government. Are we perfect? By no means are we perfect. Are we perfect in everything we do here? No, we're not perfect. But I know the other 179 of you come up here with the best intentions to represent the people that elected you to come here. I know I get up every morning. As I shared the other day, I get up and in my morning prayer, I ask for wisdom, guidance, and discernment, and the use of my patience. And we all know in Scripture, the Lord tells us, be careful when you ask for patience, because I've given you the patience that you're inherently born with. And when you ask for patience, I'll put trials and tribulations in front of you to make you realize you do have that inborn patience. So that's why I always ask for the use of my patience. And certainly last night, as I read the comments, and this morning as I've thought about it more and as I've prayed about it this morning, it's taken me to the ragged edge of my patience. I love my church. I love my congregation. I love my Georgia Baptist Mission Board. I love our leaders. They're good, godly people. It's unfortunate that one individual comes here speaking on behalf of us would make such a comparison. It breaks my heart. It hurts my soul. Many of you have been to my office, and on the whiteboard down there, you notice in the upper right-hand corner, I'm right-handed, so my eyes and hands and everything naturally go to the right. And so in the upper right-hand corner, the big whiteboard I have there in my office, I have a verse I look at every day to help me understand my place on this earth, in this house. And it's from James 3:13. And it says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Ladies and gentlemen, the discussion over a very important issue has lost the gentleness of that wisdom. I was born and raised in that church that I'm telling you about. You know, as a kid, you got a lot of important things. My important thing was a dirt mound in my mom and daddy's backyard and a bunch of Tonka toys. And the need to level that dirt mound and make roads and lakes and ponds and everything else in it. But I'd always have that call, come on, get cleaned up. because as a kid, like many of you, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church. And as that young child playing with those Tonka toys, I didn't think much of it at that point. But as I got a little older, got a little wiser, somebody came knocking on my heart. And it's the person we know as Jesus Christ. And he came into my heart one night, sitting on the front row of a church at a gospel scene with the Marchman Quartet, singing "If It Wasn't for the Lighthouse." That's my testimony. That's how the Lord spoke to me through that song, through those men. My uncle playing the piano for that group. Went on to see the Happy Goodmans and Inspirations, Florida Boys, all the ones that we know by heart, saw them all over this great state. And through that music, and through the preaching of Bible-believing, godly men in our church, I came to know the peace and love that only Jesus Christ can exemplify. And unfortunately, here in this building, that love that I hold in my heart has been somewhat betrayed. Mr. Speaker, I yield the will.
Chair recognizes Chairman Paul Battles for a morning order.
I don't think it's a secret that I am a 40-year ordained minister in the Southern Baptist Church. Pastor, 25 years, Southern Baptist churches. And I will assure you, this is not the feeling of 99.9% of Southern Baptists. I am angry. I am ashamed that this particular article was not edited out of the Christian Index before it went out to the public. I know Dr. Gerald Harris, who is the editor-in-chief of the Christian Index personally. I've got a call into him right now to let him know that what has happened has really put a scar on our convention. And you know, the scripture tells us that God is the vine, we are the branches, and the only way that those branches can grow is when sometimes there is the need for pruning. Well, it might be that Mike Griffin needs to be pruned. And we do not need, nor do we want anyone who varies from the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the only way that we find true peace, comfort, and direction in our life is through Him. And when we get into politics and we go to the length and the depth that this has caused, this has gone way out of bounds to what the Southern Baptist Convention, and more than that, Christians as a whole. I commit to you that I will not stop today until I get some kind of resolve for myself. And I want you to contact Dr. Gerald Harris with the Georgia Baptist Convention, editor-in-chief of the Christian Index, and I want you to share with him your concerns and your anger that has resulted from what has been now an editorial in a paper that is hundreds of years old. It's brought much benefit and good and communication of what we're doing all around the world as Southern Baptists. But this is a scar. And there needs to be, as one said, I believe it was Representative Kelly, I believe that there needs to be an apology that needs to be made, and I believe that there needs to be a punishment for ever putting anything in what I consider is a wonderful paper. I apologize for what has happened, but I commit to you that it better not ever happen again, because there's a lot of people, about 12 million that we have, I don't know how many Southern Baptists that we have in Georgia, but quite a bit. It's the largest denomination in Georgia. But they would not stand for this. We're not going to stand for this. And we're going to defend what I believe is the truth. And there is no truth in what he stated. And so you contact Dr. Harris and you share your concerns about this, and I want to see us have a resolve to it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the floor.